All right, everybody, let's return to 1 Corinthians 12. All right. Now concerning spirit, verse 1, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. It's one of the things he wants them to understand what's going on. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Now, when were they led to dumb idols? Go back to the book of Zechariah. If you go to Matthew, book before that is Malachi, book before that is Zechariah. Go to Zechariah 11. Zechariah 11. Look at verse 17. Woe to the idle shepherd. Notice that's idle in the sense of idols that people worship. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Now that is a prophecy of the Antichrist, okay? One of the things that's going to happen to the Antichrist is his eyes going to be darkened, his arms going to be shriveled. Bill Randall taught that's probably because Peter will attack him. I don't have any reason to doubt that, okay? He also survives an assassination. People say an assassination attempt. No, it says he dies. But then he's raised again by the false prophet, okay? But the point is this. He's called the idle shepherd, okay? Why? Because it's that mystery of iniquity that doth already work. What's he doing? He's leading people to worship idols. So the Apostle Paul says, you were carried away unto these dumb idols as ye were led. There's something about people that spiritually wants to follow dumb idols. Spiritually, they want to follow false things. Hello. Tanya and her boys. I'm always reminded watching Tanya communicate with her boys, or sometimes Jody with hers or whatever. Joe Garagiola, baseball player, he told the story one time, and his this pitcher was pitching, and the batter, they gave him the signal of what they wanted him to do. So he goes through all this stuff, you know, these signals. In other words, I didn't get it. So the manager goes through all this stuff again, you know, what he wants the batter to do. And the batter gives all the signals, I don't get it. Finally, the pitcher stands up and says, you idiot, he wants you to bunt. B-U-N-T, bunt. It's how to hit the ball. All right. But you watch Tanya with her boys. Get that gum out of your mouth.
At least she's trying.
And she is. I'm happy with Tanya.
And we're like Josh, don't dig your grave.
All right, here we go. So he talked about these dumb idols even as you were led. That's a spiritual leading where people will do that. It's what the Apostle Paul attacked in Acts chapter 17. You ought to know that the Godhead is not like unto gold and silver. What is that? That's the second commandment. He put it upon Gentiles, made them guilty with it. How many of them got saved? Just a few. Thousands of people listening, and a few got it. Okay? Why? That's the strength that idle shepherd has over people. Mm-hmm. All right. So verse 3, wherefore I give you to speak that no man speaking by the Spirit of God call the Jesus accursed. Mm. With that verse alone, you can put the new Bibles out. Okay? Why? Well, for example, they call Joseph the father of Jesus Christ. Okay? If Joseph is the father of Jesus Christ, he's a cursed man.
That's right.
So you know right off the bat, yeah, you know right off the bat, they're not of God. No man speaking by the Spirit of God.
Why would Joseph be cursed if he was?
Because he's a sinner, just like all of us. We were born under the curse of Adam. Okay? All right. Then it says this, we'll read the whole thing again. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now use your head. If I go out there on the street, I could pay a state, I could pay a stadium full of people to call Jesus is the Lord, okay? The point is, they're just repeating words. It goes back to that thing that Jesus told Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So two people can say, oh, Jesus is the Lord. One of them is saying it by the Holy Ghost. That's the real saying. That's really what's being said there. Other people are just flesh and blood mimicking it.
And their life would show it.
Their life would show it, okay? Sure. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. In other words, what the Spirit of God does is he gives people their spiritual gifts, okay? And there's diversities, but he's the one that gives them out as he sees fit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. In other words, how we administer those gifts, how we do it. There's different ways that's done, okay? Dale's taking his spiritual gifts. He's using those in liberty behind bars. He's administering it differently than I would administer my gifts in this church. Yet he might use them within this church. There's different ways they're administered, okay? There are different administrations, same Lord. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Okay? So, many different ways these things can work. It's God working through every bit of it. And this is one of those things that sometimes you're going to see people doing things differently than you do it, but don't get overthrown by the little things. Watch and see. Is that evidence that God's in this? Okay? Is that evidence that God's, these are real gifts of God that are working here? Now it goes on, it says, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Manifestation, what's that mean? Making something visible, okay? Something that you couldn't see before, making it visible. So how's the Spirit of God make himself visible? Through the gifts that he gives to people. That's how he makes himself visible. When you see someone operating with a true spiritual gift, you're seeing the Spirit of God. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That's just something God gives some men, okay? It's a spiritual gift, comes from God, and it's something they didn't study for or whatever else, God just gives it to them. I remember Bill Randall used to talk about a friend of his, a pastor, and said, if any man ever had the spirit of wisdom, that man had it. Just absolutely in crisis is what he would say, and you'd think about it afterwards and think, boy, that was exactly the right thing to say. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, later on, when we get into 1 Corinthians, we're going to see that three gifts no longer operate today. Knowledge is one of them, okay? Why do we say that? Because every bit of knowledge you have, you got the old-fashioned way. You got it by observation. You got it by studying. You got it by someone telling you. There's no one who just woke up and knew that E equals MC squared, all right? That didn't happen to you, all right? You didn't just wake up one morning and know what, you know, part of the Bible said or something. Every bit of knowledge you have, you got the old-fashioned way, okay? There's nobody who just woke up with knowledge in their head that couldn't have come from any other source.
So where does that leave corrupt wisdom? Because I know I've heard Dale say a few times, you don't have to teach a child not. You don't have to teach a child to steal, you have to teach him not to steal. Something along those lines.
Okay.
I'm just asking, where does that leave corrupt wisdom? Is that still along the same lines as normal wisdom? Just
well, I would say it's different than normal wisdom in the sense that normal wisdom is good, corrupt wisdom is bad.
Never mind.
All right? We're talking about spiritual gifts here, not things the devil does to people. All right? To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, here's the point. Everybody who's saved has faith. Okay? It's impossible to be saved and not have faith. And yet he's talking about faith as a gift. One of the things you're going to see is that faith is something that can increase. What did the disciples say? They told the Lord, increase our faith. Okay? Make it bigger than what it is now. The Apostle Paul says, as every man is given that measure of faith. One of the things that happens to a man who has a ministry, and you really don't recognize this till you've been with it for years or whatever, and but you operate that ministry based on a measure of faith that God gave you. Certain things you look at and say, I will always do it this way. You might, for example, Peter might be watching me and see certain things and realize, you know, I've watched Pastor Asquith do this over and over. It's not working. And he thinks to himself, this might here work a little bit better. This has never worked or something. Later on, if Peter's in the ministry, that would be part of the measure of faith he has. He'd realize, I can't do that like Pastor Asquith did. It just never worked for him. It was always a failure every time he tried that. You don't think I have things like that at Bill Randall's that I watched and they just didn't work? Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to do them. And you know what? That's part of why he trained me to see that kind of thing. But there's other things that I've just decided. When I came here to this church, I made up my mind that A, the King James Bible would be taught exactly word by word, exactly with the pure Cambridge text, and that's how it's going to be taught. Number two, that I will not call anybody saved until they can tell me they're saved with a sensible testimony of repentance and deliverance from sin, which was the old-fashioned method that was used for hundreds of years in the church to the last 30, 40 years, okay? And those are the only things that I don't allow people to mess with. I've had people come in here amazed what I allow. Wow, you'll allow us to do this? Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead and do any of that, okay? But when I had an evangelist get in here making people stand up and declare they're saved when they weren't saved, he's gone, okay? Not going to happen again. Almost damned Jody, okay? Made her stand up there and give this testimony about how she said, we have other families very damaged by that. Still damaged to this day over that, okay? And he had to go. Couldn't stay any longer. We're not putting up with that. You're saved when you and God know you're saved with the evidences that the Word of God says, okay? And it'll change your life. And those are basically the only two things. Other than that, I'd let just about anything go, okay? Now it goes on, it says this, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. You notice it doesn't say the gift of healing. The gift of healing doesn't exist. It's the gifts of healing. In other words, when God wants healing, there's people he puts in the church who have gifts that they use for healing. Most of that healing has nothing to do with, you know, people with cancer suddenly over the cancer, something of that sort. There's a lot more healing that can go on than, how's that cough? Is that red light on?
No.
All right. We'll answer. Just everybody glare at Joshua. All right. The coffee
will. Today's best. Yeah. Your best day.
He's defending his brother.
He is.
Don't see that very often.
Wow.
It's all right.
Why'd you taste it?
You're terrible.
You are a bad brother, Sam.
I think it's getting power, Jody. I think it's just a thing where, you know, it just didn't get turned on soon enough.
Oh, no, it's actually not even running through.
Oh, okay.
It's not brewing.
All right, well, something's wrong with it then. That's just a disaster.
Yeah.
We need somebody with the gifts of healing. All right, we need it bad. When the coffee's not working, that's bad.
James.
I still end up blaming Joshua, then later on we'll all turn around and heal him from the guilt and such. All right.
She told me to make the coffee.
All right, but seriously here, why do we pray for people that are sick? Because we believe that God can do something, okay? That's why we pray for people that are sick. But there's more to healing than just... We have people in here that needed healing from things a lot more than just physical ailments, okay? And there are people who have those gifts that help with that. All right. Then it says this, to another, the working of miracles. Okay. Miracles are not gone. Miracles still work. I don't know anybody who can just go out there and command them. But I think anybody that's ever prayed for a long enough period of time can tell some stories of some definite miracles that have gone on. Okay? Some things that are miraculous. And wow, how did that ever happen and such? And it's one of those things that God will use that and God will do it.
It's a miracle in itself that as many hooligans as we are, we manage to find somewhere and get somewhere with God.
That in itself is a miracle. The born-again experience is a miracle. Okay? It's a miracle that happens inside of a person. And so they can't drum up on their own or anything else. Okay. If that's not the gifts of healing, I don't know what it is. Okay. He's got that coffee working right now. All right. To another, prophecy. Now, prophecy is one of those things. Prophecy is when you, taking the word of God, either through music or preaching, and you tell people what's going to happen in the future based on what God says. Okay? There's no one today who has that gift. That's one of the three gifts that Paul said would fail. Okay? But yet we prophesy all the time. Okay? Coming again, coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon. What is that? We're prophesying that Jesus Christ is going to come back. In Elizabethan times, preaching was called prophesying. That's what they called it. And, you know, people get up because they're basically telling you what God's going to do and what's going to happen. What there isn't today is anybody who has the gift to be able to pull a prophecy out of the air and say it. Okay? You have people who say they do. And you're given two ways to judge that in the book of Deuteronomy. One of them is in Deuteronomy 18, the other is in Deuteronomy 13. One of them is if they prophesy, but they tell you to break any one of God's laws, they're definitely of the devil. The other thing is if they prophesy and everything they say doesn't come exactly true, it's of the devil. So if I were to tell you that tomorrow morning, President Trump is going to interrupt all TV shows and that he's going to talk about painting the White House green for the first time ever, you know, his commitment to the environment. And, you know, he's going to have Nancy Pelosi divorce his wife and marry her or something like that. And, you know, and tomorrow, bam, President Trump comes on the television and he talks about painting the White House green. And, you know, and there he goes, and, you know, and instead he's got Ruth Bader Ginsburg or somebody, he's going to marry her instead. You'd say, wow, that pastor, no, I got something wrong.
That's right.
Okay? That thing wrong was enough to show you that it was the devil that showed me that, not God. Okay? And that's what the rules are for prophecy. By the way, let me just say this now, because I watched two parents having trouble with gum. There is absolutely no reason ever that a child should have gum in church. It's just one of those things, there's just never a reason for that, okay? Why would a child have gum in church? And the problem is, if we took all the children, there might be a couple that know how to use it, okay? I doubt Autumn's going to stick it on her nose or in her hair or anybody else's or anything of that sort. But we have children who can't. But ask the kids who went through and cleaned all the gum off the bottom of the pews. I always find just candy wrappers all over the floor on Monday. They're just all over. They're blotted up in pews or stuffed in little places and that. And when I hand kids thing, I always think, oh, they'll do the right. No, they never do the right thing. And it's just one of those things. Teachers don't allow gum in school. Okay? Why? Because most kids can't handle gum in school. Okay? And such. And it's one of those things. You know, I had a grandmother that had a saliva problem, and she had to chew gum. Her doctor made her chew gum. It's the only way she could produce saliva. I don't think we have any kid with that problem and such. And it's just, I had to learn that lesson with my own kids. You know, 8 kids, 5 of them could handle chewing gum, and then there's 3 that couldn't, all right? And for the 3 that couldn't, you can't let any kids do it, all right? But again, That's just one of those things. If there's parents don't agree, you don't want to agree with it. All right. It's not like a church rule or something. That's just, to me, common sense of how to handle things like that in church. It's hard for me sometimes to talk about common sense rules in church for children because we have some families who aren't ready for them. And I don't want to chase those families out. They're just not ready for those common sense rules as far as that goes. And so we just kind of let certain, and I've talked to some privately and said, hey, get this right or get that right or whatever. You know, for example, 3-4 years ago, almost any common sense rule with children would have just so offended Tanya, she didn't even have the ability to do them, okay? Now God's holding her to it, and it's hard. She told me yesterday, just hard, some of the stuff God's showing her. Hard, okay? And you pray for her. Hard. You know, you're a single mother and such, and you're out there and the world fighting you and everything else, and yet here's God telling you got to raise these kids, and here's how you got to do it. All right. Now, it goes on that says this. Another work of America, prophecy to another, discerning of spirits, okay? What's that mean? It means having that ability to listen to people and discern what spirit they're talking with, what spirit they're operating with. It's God can give certain people that gift, and they'll discern that, and they'll use it. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Now, that is the third one that the Apostle Paul tells you in 1 Corinthians 13:8 that does not operate anymore. Back then, okay, I just didn't know what this meant. but back then, a man could just be sitting there and suddenly able to speak in another language, okay? And it just comes out of him. Or he's speaking in his own language and another heard it in his language. The Holy Ghost just took care of that language problem between them. Today we have people we call gifted with languages. Avi Gold, obviously, is somebody like that, gifted with languages. Darren Chul, you hear me talk about him sometimes, just gifted with languages. You know, he stepped across the Dominican border from Haiti. He already could speak the Creole in that, and he began speaking Spanish with the people up the hill. Almost no time picked it up.
What's
Dominican? Dominican is a country, okay? So that's a good question, though. But the thing is, he picked it up in no time. So then he goes and he speaks to a professional group of Spaniards. He went and he preached somewhere, and they were just rolling on the floor laughing, because it would be like seeing a man come with a bowler hat and a tuxedo to speak English and then speak like the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
And in other words, he learned Spanish from mountain people up in the hills, the absolute hillbillies. And these people were just holding their sides laughing as he talked to them. And it was perfect Spanish. They understood every word. It just was so incongruous to see somebody speaking like that. But he has a talent for languages. That's not the gift of tongues, okay? It's just like some people have gifts for knowledge. They retain a lot. They get it. They remember things and that. That's not the gift of knowledge. It's just a physical ability they have. All right. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Therein is the key to your Bible. What's interpretation of tongues? Interpretation of tongues is when you take a language from one language to another. Okay? Many times you can't translate things word by word because they won't make sense. Most of you are too young, but when Ronald Reagan was the president, there was a terrible tragedy when a flight called 007 flying to Korea, a 747 jet in international waters. And for example, Ruth Ann and I, we flew over Kamchatka when we flew to a peninsula off of Russia, on the east coast of Russia. We flew over that. Back during the days of the Soviet Union, the Cold War, you didn't do that. Well, this airplane actually veered into Soviet territory, okay? So the Soviets then thought, this is a trick by the American government. And it really was a windfall in the sense all of their radars in secret came on when that happened, and we got to see every one of them. So they thought for sure this is on purpose that they're doing this. As it turned out, it was a complete and utter mistake, okay? okay? A lot of conspiracy theories about it. There was a congressman on there who was involved in something real important and such. But regardless of that, they finally, the Russians sent up a MiG and just shot the airliner down. Okay? They could not, they were over these sensitive places. They couldn't risk it anymore. You know what the Russians said? Fiddlesticks and trees. What's that mean? Oh, what the heck? In other words, he's been given the order. He's looking at a civilian, but you've been ordered. You will shoot it down. And he said, oh, what the heck? Okay? But you can't, and if you translated the Russian, it's fiddlesticks and trees. Okay? Does that make any sense to anybody? No, but what the heck does? So for me to translate wouldn't make sense. For me to interpret what he said, now you get, oh, what the heck? You know? In other words, I'm just in an impossible situation. My government's ordering me to shoot this down. And again, it was just an awful tragedy of the Cold War when that happened. But
why is it called the Cold War?
Because it never heated up with bullets. They were just mad at each other. It's like you and Katie are mad at each other, you're not talking to each other, but you're not hitting each other. Yeah, does that ever happen? No. Yeah. But again, it's this idea of the interpretation of tongues is when God gives a man the gift to understand something in his own tongue and to understand it in another tongue. He has to know both tongues. But God can give him the perfect interpretation with understanding. Okay? That's how you have a King James Bible. The King James Bible is the Holy Ghost's interpretation of the words of God in English. That's what it is. Okay?
So when they translate it to other countries, how do they keep that authenticity?
I'm sure some of them don't. Okay? This Wyclef translators and all that, most of that's probably just a joke, all right, going out there. In order for it to work, for example, when Mao Tse-tung was trying to teach his guerrillas to read back in the 1930s and 40s, he actually found a Christian Bible translated into Chinese. The Chinese had been using. Oddly enough, that's what most of his men learned on. How did that happen? Because the man, number one, could think in Chinese and he could think in English. So that when he's read something in English, he could think about exactly how to say that in Chinese and write it down. If he's done that, and he's done it with understanding, what he has given is done by inspiration. It's fine. He's got it. In Burma, for example, one of the great things that missionaries have found is that Adoniram Judson translated the Word of God into Burmese. Burmese has a high and a low Burmese. He translated the high Burmese that the priests speak. And that actually turned out to be a wonderful thing. It's like our King James Bible, a little bit up of a language. And people actually reverence it as holy. And they're able to read it and such. They have to think about it more, but it's been a perfect Bible for them. And around the world, there's many such Bibles like that. I'm sure there's others that are just a joke, okay? That there's not much to it, not much better than NIVs or ESVs or anything of that sort. Verse 11. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So it's the will of the Spirit of God who gets what gift. Every man severally as he will. Now, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. This church here, many different members, if we all had the same gifts, it'd be a pretty boring place to be, okay? It's kind of like same-sex marriage or something. I can't think of anything more boring. But, you know, everybody having the same gift, everybody having the same thing or something of that sort.
I mean, men are screwy enough, but when you put two men together, you make no sense.
You make no sense. But The point is, everybody has different gifts. They bring them to the table, and that's how a body works, okay? And God will see to it that it operates that way. He's the one that does it. You know, that same God that diverted nature in so many ways. Do you realize that of all the plants and animals that men have introduced to the United States, almost all of them have been ecological disasters? You know, one of the worst ecological disasters in the United States is Yellowstone National Park, because men took it over 100 years ago and tried to run it, and it's actually an ecological disaster. It's actually, any ecologist will tell you that, it's a complete and utter disaster. Every 20 years they change their mind what's really needed and such, and it's a mess. Carp, for example, which never were meant to be in North America. They just destroyed lakes and rivers and everything else. There was one guy who took 3 trips to Germany to bring carp over, and 2 of them, they died each time. But he thought carp would be such a wonderful fish here. And he actually became rich when he brought them, because everybody else believed it. And then after a while, they realized, no, they're just destroying the native. The starlings were never meant to be here and such. Yeah, and it's just, they've destroyed everything. Do you realize there's one bird that Audubon, the man who painted all the birds in the late 1700s, early 1800s, never saw in America, that was introduced in 1848, that has found a perfect ecological niche in this country? It's called the cattle egret. Okay? If you're anywhere, Virginia, down south, you might see them here once in a while. They're a tall white bird. They'll actually sit on the back of cattle and eat lice and things off of those cattle and clean them up and such. You know how they got there? They got here in a hurricane in 1848. No man brought them. Just God looked and realized they're needed. Brought them here. So of all the species that have been brought, plants and everything else, they've really just been ecological disasters. And one that God brought here, absolutely a perfect niche. They've worked perfectly. They don't throw anything out of balance. There's no bird species that suffered because of it, and absolutely has fit perfectly for what they do. So that same God does that same thing with gifts in the church. Okay. All right. Now he goes on, he says this, "For as by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body." Now let me tell you something. I actually have friends who believe that when you get baptized in water, then that God gives you your spiritual gift. I don't believe that, okay? But I have friends who believe that. They're that Baptist that they think that's when God gives you your spiritual gift. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Sam, is that coffee ready? It's not ready yet. Okay. Edit all that out so no one thinks I'm sitting here lusting after coffee. All right. All right.
Who isn't here?
All right.
Can we go get you some coffee, Pastor?
It's not ready yet. But, sir, that was dear to my heart. All right. All right. Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul says this, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." That goes along with what I preached Sunday, with what Pastor Hain preached last night. Hey, Caleb, he's paying attention now. Just leave him alone on that, okay? You know what, Caleb? Josh behaves pretty good. You've been doing a good job raising him, so just let him stay there, all right, babe? All right, good. All right. So the thing is, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. And you know what? It takes work to do that. You have to work a little bit to keep a church in peace. You have to work a little bit to keep a family in peace. You have to work a little bit to keep a friendship in peace. You have to work a little bit to make that happen. Tanya called me last night. "I need to apologize to you." And I thought to myself, she came to me hot as a pepper sprout last night, mad about something or whatever. And I thought, she handled that perfectly. So I told her, I said, Tanya, I said, I was amazed you were angry and actually handled it right, spoke properly and everything else. You know, I didn't see a need for an apology. Why? That endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace, okay? In other words, when you get angry, don't puke your anger out all over everybody, all right? Sir, thank you. There's the first fruits of the spirit right there. All right. All right.
How is it, Pastor? Good?
That's actually good, all right? Everybody needs to get some coffee, go get some coffee.
Can that be the sacrificial lamb?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have not said so. You have not been quiet. Now you can keep up there. I can tell you that. I have a really nice hardwood dowel. That's a now with your name on
it. I'm just saying. I would consider you an adult. We used to have a whole lot. Yeah, go ahead. I'm getting comfortable. This is the